And thank you, Pearson students. We appreciate you getting up early this morning on a Sunday. They were here at 8 o'clock this morning, and we appreciate them coming. And we want to pray for them later in our service today as they start to make their way back to their homes. Preteens, are you ready to go? You ready? You don't look ready. You ready? All right. Cheryl's ready for you. There you go. There are some things that just go together, aren't they? Like meat and potatoes, right? That just goes together, doesn't it? That just is one of those things that goes together. There are other things that go together, like pie and ice cream. Yeah. All right. Now we're starting to make a connection. There are other things that go together, like Jack and Jill. Don't they? Jack and Jill go together, don't they? Yeah. What are some other things that go together? Coffee and coffee? Ken and Ingeborg. Okay, I get that. All right. But what are some other things that go together? Mac and cheese. Yeah. All right. God and forgiveness. Yeah, Natalie. All right. What else goes together? Milk and cookies. What was this? Chocolate and sundae. All right. Yeah, all right. But there's some things that just go together. I'm not going to start singing a Sesame Street song to you. Which of these? No. But there are some things that go together. And in Scripture, there are some things that go together. And the things that go together that I want to talk about for the next few weeks are the Spirit and power. Those are two things that go together in Scripture. That we find that are connected. It was interesting as I went through my concordance on my computer. I punched in the word spirit and the word power and looked for every place in the Bible where those two words appeared together. And there's 10 verses in the Old Testament. There's 11 verses in the New Testament that specifically have the words spirit and power in the same verse, and they are connected to each other. It's not just that the word is kind of randomly used there, but that the one is directly tied into the other, that the two of them are there because they work together, the spirit and power. You can go to the very first verses of the Bible, and you can see where the Spirit and power, and there's many other verses where it just shows what the Spirit does, but where the Spirit and power are connected because of creation. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The image, the picture is really like a mother hen over a nest of eggs. That's the image, that's the picture that we are told is being described here. The Spirit of God was hovering over this dark, empty, formless, void place. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. There was this incredible act of power that occurred because of the presence of the Spirit, that the Spirit performed a powerful act, the act of creation. I'm amazed by this work or this activity, this creative power that is at work, taking this formless, empty, dark place, and it begins to take shape, and we begin to see this creation that God brings out of nothing. And I think anyone who would take the time to read through these next few chapters would have to admit that there's some pretty incredible power at work in this place as the Spirit begins to form and to make what we now know as this planet. You see this connection throughout the Bible. You see it in so many different places where the Spirit and power are connected. We can go to some of the last verses of the Bible and we see again the Spirit at work in Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. The power of the Spirit is demonstrated here, first of all, in drawing people to this free gift, and secondly, in providing this free gift. We don't come to God because of our own desire and will. The Bible says no one can come to God unless the Spirit first draws them. And so when you came to Christ, when you came to God, when you started to have an interest in the things of God, you did not come because suddenly one day you woke up and there was this spark of interest that happened in your mind that said, you know, I'd really like to know about God. The Bible tells us that even that spark of interest was planted there by the Spirit of God, and the only reason we ever came to God was because the Spirit planted that hook in us and then began to pull us towards God. And so the first thing the Spirit does in this is plants that hook and draws us to God, but secondly, the Spirit provides that opportunity for us to be made right with God. It's through the work of the Spirit that we are made right with God. And so there's this from beginning to end of Scripture and multitudes of places in between where we see this connection between Spirit and power, where we see the Spirit of God present and the power of God at work. And I could tell you story after story after story out of the Bible that demonstrates that the presence of the Spirit also brought the power of God. And when that happened, there were incredible things that took place. A question I had as I was looking at this was, do we make that connection in our lives? Do we make that connection in our lives of Spirit and power? Do we make the connection that the Holy Spirit comes and with him comes this incredible presence and power that can make all of the difference in the world in our lives? Can make all of the difference in the world? Or do we simply just have this kind of mystical idea of the Spirit that somewhere out there, there's something? And we have this idea, but we really don't know what that means. And we really wish that there would be changes brought about in our lives, but we're not sure how that can happen either. And I want to, over these next couple of weeks, just connect those dots for us and just say that we want to focus on the whole idea of the Spirit and power in our lives. One of the most powerful things that can take place in our lives is when the Spirit works. And we see his work in us and through us, and we see things begin to happen because of the work of the Spirit in our lives. So let's start kind of in a way at the very beginning and ask the question of what or who is the Holy Spirit? What or who is the Holy Spirit? I think the answer to this question makes a huge difference in how we respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First of all, there are some people that think of the Holy Spirit as a force, like lightning. You just don't want to get struck by it because things could really blow up, you know? And there is this idea that the Spirit is a force, very much like Star Wars, you know? May the force be with you. Or like electricity, we go and we take a cord and we plug it in the wall and suddenly something comes to life because there's this force that has entered into an object. And we kind of have the idea that this force can enter into us and some really weird, wild things can happen. One of the problems with that understanding of the Spirit is that it puts the power and the presence and the working of the Spirit into our hands rather than allowing that to be in the hand of God. Because you see, then I can control that force. I can decide when I plug in and when I plug out. I can decide when I use that force and when I don't use that force. I can decide how this has worked, and it leaves me in control of the situation. It leaves me in control of this sense of power. I would harness it for my own good, but I would also control it for my liking and for my taste and my desires. The second understanding and the biblical understanding of the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. As much as Jesus is a person, as much as God is a person, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's described in Scripture as the third person of the Trinity. And the significance of being a person is that we can have a relationship with a person. The relationship with a force is very one-sided, isn't it? If I stick my finger in a light socket or a plug-in, the relationship is very one-sided. All the power comes from there to here, and I probably get quite a jolt because of what has happened. But the relationship with a person is totally different in that there is an interaction, that there is a sense of back and forth. There is a sense in which we can interact, we can relate with the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, we read these verses. If you love me, Jesus said these words, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. We could spend all morning just on that verse talking about the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit and how he interacts with us. But let's just pick out a couple of things. First of all, the Holy Spirit is described as he. He will guide you into all truth. He will come. He will be with, he is with you. He will be in you. And so there is this very much this personal pronouns that are given to describe the work of the Spirit. The Bible never describes the Spirit as an it. Okay? Sometimes we talk about the Spirit that it is doing this. But it's very much a personal pronoun. He is at work. He is at work in us. He is doing this. He is coming into our midst. His presence is here with us. So the first thing that we see is here, that idea of the personhood. The second thing is another counselor. When Jesus says, I will give you another counselor, he is saying, I will give you another counselor like the one you already know. Jesus has been with them for 3 years. He has lived with them and eaten with them, and they have slept under trees together as they have traveled from place to place, and he has taught them, and for 3 years he has been with them, and he says, I will send you another counselor, and the idea here is another one like the one you already know. Jesus said, I will send someone like me to be with you. Then he goes further in this passage and he says, he is with you, but he will be in you. Jesus was limited in time and space to one location at a time, just like you and I are. You know, it'd be great if we could be at two or three places at a time. We could get more work done that way sometimes. Mind you, we'd probably be more tired too. But Jesus was limited in space and time, just like you and I are. And so he says, he is with you. Jesus was with his disciples. But he says he will be in you. And when his Spirit is in us, he can be in all of us at the same time. He dwells in us, every one of us. And so wherever we go and whatever we are doing, his Spirit is there with us and in us. And this whole idea, this sense of relationship that we can have is an abiding relationship. Jesus said to the disciples before he left this earth, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You go, how is that possible? Jesus went to heaven. The Bible tells us Jesus sent his Holy Spirit to indwell everyone who comes to know Christ. And that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, or the Holy Spirit dwells in every one of us. It's not limited to time and space. Is not limited to location, but he is actively involved and included in every one of us who have come to know Christ. His Spirit is present in all of those places. So we speak of the Spirit as this person who indwells in us, not some mystical science fiction way where something overtakes us and we have no control. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, we can say no to the Spirit or we can say yes to the Spirit, and we'll talk more about that over the next few weeks. But he dwells in us. He lives inside of us. Paul says it's a mystery how that can happen. but it does. So what kind of power is attributed to the Holy Spirit? What is it that he can do being resident within us? Well, we started out talking about the power to create. We already read it in Genesis chapter 1. There is this power to create that in the beginning God created, the Spirit created the universe, everything that there is. And so there's this sense that the creation that we see around us is the work of the Spirit. The Bible also tells us that he keeps it going by the power of his Spirit. Not only did he create it, but he keeps it going. That he is the force behind, or he is the energy behind, or he is the power behind this entire creation. Do you ever wonder why stars don't bump into each other? All of those stars out there, and they don't, you know, very seldom do they bump into each other. Planets out there, and they stay in their orbits. I know, there are scientific explanations, but who's behind the science? God is behind the science. The Creator is behind the science. And so we see that he has this power to create. But Pastor, that happened a long time ago. What does the power of the Spirit have to do with creation in my life? I'm glad you asked that. The Bible says he can make beauty out of ashes, the oil of joy, the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness, that he can create in us, that he creates in us, that he can make something new. To create really means to make something out of nothing. God does not come to us and said, I'm going to renovate you. He says, I'm going to make you a new creation. Aren't you glad for that? Because if he just renovated us, you know, what happens with renovations, you cover up a lot of old stuff behind the walls, and it looks really nice because, you know, you put new gyprock on there and you painted it, and it looks brand new, but you just don't know what's behind that. Just ask Mike Holmes. You know, he'll tell you what's behind it. Over and over and over and over again, he'll tell you what's behind it. Okay? But God says, I'll make you a new creation. I'll make you a new creation. I'll do something new. I'll bring something new out of nothing in your life. And very often we look and we go, what could God do with me? I'm just this. And you know that God doesn't look at just what you are, but he looks at his creative power and he says, this is what I can do with who you are. You don't have to worry that you don't have enough to bring God, to God for him to do something with that. You know, we think that, oh, you know, I got to bring myself to God and hopefully there's enough here for God to do something. It's kind of like some of you who cook, you know. You look in the cupboards and you go, man, I hope there's enough here to make something for dinner. And we have that idea that we have to bring all the raw materials to God and then God can simply work with that. The reality is that God made this entire universe out of nothing. It was formless and void and dark and empty. And out of that, he spoke into it and he brought a creation, a universe that we know today. And God can look into your life and into my life and he can say dark and formless and empty places in our lives and he can speak into that. And he can cause creation, something that he has created, to come out of that dark and formless and empty place in our lives. So one of the things the Spirit does is he creates in us. The second thing that the Spirit does, or the power the Spirit does in our lives, is he speaks to us. In some places, if you say that God speaks to you, they will look at you like, no, 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 no. Kind of music playing in the background, you know. Oh, yeah, God speaks to that guy. The reality is that Jesus said that the Spirit would speak to us. Not in some goofball way, not in some, you know, like sci-fi kind of way, but that God would very much speak into our lives. And he does that in a variety of different ways. He does that through his word when we read it, and this morning as I was having my devotions again, I was reading out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and God just talked to me about something, and he kind of opened up a verse to me, and I just felt God speaking to me through that. There are other times that God just whispers something in our hearts, and we know that God has spoken, that God has said something to us that we needed to hear. Maybe in that very moment, we needed his reassurance, we needed direction, we needed something to come from God, and in that very moment, we sensed that God was speaking to us. In John chapter 16, Jesus said this, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear." I think the image kind of is like a classroom image where the teacher says, "You know, there's a lot more to you, more to this subject and this idea than I can tell you about now. Like, you're only in grade 3. There's quantum physics and there's, you know, all of this other stuff which you can't catch on to yet." But he says, "You will learn it. You will hear it at the right time." Corrie Ten Boom, a name that for those of you who are a little older, you'll remember. For those of you that are younger, she was a Dutch girl during what was it? Second War, First War? Second War. And they hid Jewish people in their home. And her father was a clockmaker, and he used to take trips on business, and he would carry this big suitcase full of clock parts. And one day, Corrie asked her father a question that he thought she was a little too young for. And he said to her, "You know, Corrie, the day that you can lift my suitcase and carry it, that'll be the day that I will give you the answer to your question." It was his way of saying to her, "You're not ready for this yet, but there will be a time coming when you will be ready for it." And here, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "There is so much more that I want to say to you, but you're not ready for it yet. You can't receive it yet." And then he goes on, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." The Spirit of God takes the things of God, and he speaks them into our lives. And I don't know, I've had this experience, and I go, "Why did I not know this years ago?" And I think it's because I wasn't ready years ago. But the Spirit knows when I'm ready. And at that moment, he speaks something into my life, and the power of the Spirit comes, and he may just whisper it sometimes. Sometimes he may shout it if I'm not paying attention and listening. But one of the things the power of the Spirit does is speak to us and speak to us about the things of God and lets us know the things that God has in store for us. A third thing that the power of the Spirit accomplishes, or that is attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is the power to give us spiritual life. The power to bring us alive spiritually. Now, humans have the ability to reproduce and to bring human physical life through a process that God has created in order to bring human life into this world. But the Bible says that we also need to be brought to a place of being spiritually alive, and that it is the work and the power of the Holy Spirit that causes spiritual life to come. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And you he made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins." He goes on to talk about the fact that we were separated from God, that we were going our own direction, that we were doing our own thing. But he says, "I brought you alive spiritually. I brought spiritual life," or the Spirit brought spiritual life into you. "You who were dead." Dead really means separated from God. Spiritual life means connected with God, that he formed this connection between us and God through the power and the work of the Spirit in us. To be spiritually alive means to be brought into a relationship with God, to have our spirit brought to life, the very innermost part of our being, which was created to be in contact with God, to have that awakened and brought to life. And as a result of having that awakened and brought to life, that we can know God. You can know God. You can know what it means to have a relationship with God because of this work of the Spirit inside of you. He brought you to life spiritually. There's a spiritual birth. Remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? And he says to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus goes, "How's that possible? Can I enter into my mother's womb the second time?" And it's like all of these thoughts going through Nicodemus' mind, like, this is impossible. And Jesus said, "No, this is from above. You must be born of the Spirit." That the Spirit is the one who brings that spiritual life, that brings that connection with God, that causes you and I to be made spiritually alive. That part of us that God created to connect with Him will become alive because of the work of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit within us. We read about it earlier, the fact that the Spirit in Revelation draws us, but also the Spirit gives us that life. And that's what we're talking about here. So He has the power to give us spiritual life. Number four, He has the power to transform us. I love this part. He has the power to transform us. Why do I like this so much? Because of the stuff that I see in myself that I don't like about myself. And I don't think I'm any different than you are. That we all see stuff within us that we don't like about ourselves and that we are helpless to change. And that we have this sense of, man, I wish I was different there, but I just can't do it. I have tried, and I have tried, and I have tried, and I have tried, but I have also failed and failed and failed and failed. And I don't have the ability to change myself. But the Bible tells us that the Spirit comes, and through His power, He transforms us. I love that picture because it has the shell of the cocoon and the beautiful butterfly that has come out of it. And that's what God wants to do with every one of us, that we are in this cocoon kind of thing and kind of an ugly thing when we start up because of sin, not because we're ugly as people, but because of the sin in our life that has created an ugliness in us. And out of that, God takes and He brings this beautiful creation. He brings this wonderful thing that He does. If you bump just down two verses, Lorraine, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That God has transformed us. When we became a Christian, we went through this transformation process. We are not who we used to be. Oh, yes, I'm still Al Funk, and you are still Dale Huff or whoever you are, but you're not the same. You're not the same. The Bible says, the old is gone, the new has come. There has been a transformation. There has been a transformation that has taken place in your life. I remember one man that the transformation was so dramatic, the people he worked with said, you know, you really need to change your name because you're not the same person. Isn't that awesome and amazing that kind of a transformation can happen in our lives where we become this new creation, where God can do something with us. But the transformation is not just, it didn't all happen the moment at salvation and whatever is left in our lives, well, sorry, I guess you just got to live with that. No, there's that continual transformation through the power of the Spirit, you know? As I read Scripture and I see in there things that God wants to change in my life, I can go, Spirit of God, come. Just make these changes. I can't make that change on my own. I can't do that by myself. You know, I got this thing that it just hangs on, and whether it's a temper or whether it's a habit or whether it's a process or whatever it is, that you can bring that to God and say, God, I need this transformed by the power of the Spirit. I need you to come and change me in this area of my life. Change my desires. Change my wants. Change my intentions. God, just change me all the way through, inside to out. God, change me. And I purposely said inside to out because you see, His Spirit comes and indwells us and He begins to work from the inside out. If we try to change ourselves, we change ourselves from the outside in, or we try to. You know, we try to make ourselves look better on the outside, whether the change has happened on the inside yet or not. We try to make ourselves look better. We dress nicer. We maybe try not to do certain things or go certain places. You know, we try to change from the outside in, but the Spirit of God, because He lives on the inside, He changes our heart. He changes our desires. He changes our will. Not just our outside actions. The outside actions change because our will has changed. Our heart has changed. We no longer want to do those things. When the Spirit of God comes and He makes that transformation, if we jump back now, Lorraine, to the verse just before, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's out of 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. many people believe that this talks about the experience of worship, that as we worship God, as we respond to the goodness of God in our lives, that's one of the ways the transformation happens. One of the ways that God changes us. It's like we behold the glory of God, and I see something about God that I never saw before, and I know that what's in my life doesn't line up with what I see in God. And I go, God, I want this to change. I want to be like you, God. I think this is one of the great needs in the world today and in churches and in Christians and believers and us today is that we have a desire to be like God, not to be God. Somebody said the difference between us and God is that God never thinks he's us. You think about that for a while, you'll catch on to it, okay? God never thinks he's us. We sometimes think we're God. But that we would be like God in character, like God in personality, like God in how we live out our lives, living godly lives or God-like lives every day. And that comes through this power of transformation in us. And the last area that I want to talk about just briefly is the power to work through us to change the world around us. I was so excited when I saw these young people from Pearson College standing here. And I realized, I've realized it often as I have thought about them particularly, is that God can change the world. And we can be part of the change that's going to happen in the world simply because of them being part of our church. But I don't want to put it on them as their responsibility to change the world. All of the rest of you, God can change the world, our world, through us by the power of the Spirit. When we talk more about this in a couple of weeks, we'll talk about how God has placed gifts within us. And those gifts are abilities that he's given to through us make a difference in other people's lives. Through us in a very natural way, not in some hyper-spiritual way, you know, start to shake. Oh, I must be a gift starting to happen. No, you know. Leon is going down to Cambodia in a few weeks to use his engineering. Cambodia, right? Yeah. To use his engineering to change part of that world down there. You know, he's going there to design a building. And you go, well, that's not very spiritual, Leon. It's amazingly spiritual. It's amazingly spiritual. We have had so many people from our church in the last year or so go on mission trips. It's almost hard to keep up with all of the people that are going to all of the different places of the world. And I'm so excited about that because we are seeing little bits of the world all over the world being changed through what God is doing through people in Colwood Church. You think we just touch this little community? That's nonsense. We touch the world through people from our church going all over the world to do just like what Leon is doing to design a building, to do what Brianna's going to do this summer is to go work with a nurse in Romania, to do what Kent and Debbie are doing to go to Brazil and work with missionaries down there, to do what Donna's going to do in going down to Guatemala with a team to help in an orphanage there, to do what Tony and Jan have done, which is go to Mexico and build a house, and to have these beautiful students go from here to their homes to touch the world that God opens up for them. Through the power of the Spirit, not because we're just such effective people, but because the power of the Spirit dwells in us and is able to take numbers on a page and drawings and transform lives through that, is able to take music and transform lives through that, is able to take us painting a building and transform lives through that, is able to make a difference everywhere we go. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That you will have the ability to through the power of the Spirit, transform the world through what you do. Maybe not the whole world. Marty just got back from Poland. You know, even if she transformed one or two people's world In that, even if when they go to Guatemala or to Brazil or Cambodia, they can transform one or two people's world. Maybe those one or two people will transform someone else's world, and they will transform someone else's world, and they will transform someone else's world. And I was listening as I came to church this morning to, I have to tell you, it was a Gaither CD. But they were singing that song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed." And in the song, it says, one day I'm going to stand in heaven, and all of these people are going to come up and say, "Thank you for what you did. I'm a life that was changed because of what you did. And you didn't even know it." And I was thinking about that earlier this week, too, that how often does the God work through our lives to transform someone else's life? And we didn't even realize it. And one day when we get to heaven, there's going to be all these people going to come say, "Hey, thanks for what you did." And you go, "What did I do?" And they say, "Well, you gave, you prayed, you did this, you did that, you did the other thing." God, by his Holy Spirit, works through us in power to change the world that is around us. Rob and your team, will you come back up? Okay. We're going to go a little different direction than when we had originally planned. But as representative kind of the world, I'm going to ask the students from Pearson. Would everybody stand, please? I'm going to ask the students from Pearson College, if you'll just come and stand across the front here. Leave some room behind you and in front of you, and look that way, because I want people to see your faces again, okay? And now I want a bunch of the rest of you to come and to gather around them. And we just want to pray with them this morning and ask God to be with them as they go from this place to whatever their world is, to whatever the place is that God has for them. But I also want you to put yourself in their place and to recognize that the thing that God wants to do through their lives, he also wants to do through your life. He also wants to do through your life. That this is not kind of there's people doing it, so they don't need me. We need everyone. And we want to see the power of God be at work, the power of the Spirit be at work, the lives of these young people, but they are representative of all of us. And we want to see the power of God and the power of the Spirit at work through us. Let's pray for them. Father, this morning, we thank you for the power of your Spirit who indwells, who lives within every believer. Power that creates, that brings life, speaks, ministers, transforms, touches the world through us. Father, today I would pray particularly for these students from Pearson College and the places that they will go. Some will go to their home provinces in Canada. Some will go to places far, far away. Doesn't really matter as to where they go. But God, we pray that through their lives, through the power of the Spirit, that God, they would be able to make a difference in those places. That they would see their world changed because the power of the Spirit that is in them and that is working through them and creating and speaking and transforming and changing and touching. God, we ask that there would be a mighty, mighty sense of your presence with them wherever they go. I know many of them are going on to more school in different places. And God, we pray for them that they would find places of spiritual connection, places where they can go to worship you, places where they can find a church family and a body to be part of. God, many of these faces we won't ever see again on this earth. But God, we know that one day we will see them before your throne. And it'll be great to catch up on what you have done through their lives. And we just pray for every one of them that they would be kept by the power of your Spirit, and God, that they would be presented before you, holy and blameless and spotless. God, as we pray for them, we pray for us. We pray for all of the rest of us in this place. God, we pray that the power of your Spirit would be at work in and through us and would be mighty and dynamic. God, that you would change the world around us through that same Holy Spirit that will be working in these students. God, the places where we work need to be transformed. Places where we live need to be transformed. The places where we study need to be transformed, God. We need your power to come and just work in incredible ways. And God, that we can see just amazing things happen. God, we personally need to be transformed. We need to be changed so that we can be the people of God that you've called us to be. The light in dark places that you want us to be, God. So we thank you for that today. Father, we just bless these students and we bless each one who is here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.